John chapter 14, and verse 15. You can look at it. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can look at it here up on the screen. We have it in the King James Version here. John chapter 14. Also, let me say this because I have a note facing me on the back side of the computer in big letters, and it's a good reminder to me. We want you to memorize Psalm 91 this year. We feel it's very important. We're not through the COVID crisis completely yet. Amen. But God's helped us so far. I want to encourage you to memorize Psalm 91. Look it up in the New Living. Is it NLT? NLT, New Living Translation. And we don't have time this morning to show it to you. We were going to go through the first couple of verses. I want you to memorize it. It's really good in the New Living Translation. So if you have a Bible program on your phone and you can zap it in that translation, Psalm 91, commit it to heart. I've already memorized it in King James. Now I'm going to start working on it in NLT. I want to encourage you. Why? Because Psalm 91 is a chapter of promise for God's protection. Amen. And it's all founded in Christ. It's all centered. I know it's Old Testament, but it talks about he that dwells in the secret place. The secret place is that place of being hidden in Christ Jesus. Amen. And all the blessings that are described there are for you. Amen. All right, now John chapter 14. Let's go. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus said this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Let's have a quick word of prayer, and we'll bless the word this morning as we get into it. Lord, we thank you for opening our ears, our spiritual eyes, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have you been enjoying the series so far? I hope so. It's been helping me. It's good reminders for me. So whether you like it or not, I'm having a great time. But I hope you're enjoying it. So the first week, we emphasized verse 18 in this chapter. The end of verse 16, where he says, he will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised, would come to us and abide with us forever. Amen. And in verse 16, he also says this, and I want to point this out this week, right there. If you pull that up there, thank you. "I'll pray the Father, he'll give you another comforter." That word "another" in the Greek is very important. In the Greek language, there are two words that could be translated for "another." It could be either "another of a same kind" or "another of a different kind." Okay? So if we were talking about man and wife, we would say, or a heterosexual, we use that general term in describing gender, we would say two people of a different kind, another of a different kind. But Jesus uses the Greek word here, allos, A-L-O-S, if you're taking notes, allos, A-L-O-S. And this word allos means another, but of the same kind. In other words, Jesus said, "I'm going to send a duplicate of myself to you," and that's who the Holy Spirit is. In other words, guys, you've been with me 3 years. We've camped out in the wilderness. We've been run out of towns. You know, we've been persecuted here and there. He's talking to the disciples. And he said, the same power that you've seen me operate in, the same compassion that you've seen demonstrated in me, the same peace that you felt when I'm in your presence, that's what the Holy Spirit will bring. He's another, but of the same kind. Amen? In the Greek language, allos. This is the Spirit, the same Spirit that came on the Old Testament saints of old, like Samson, who would rip the city gates out of their hinges and carry the gates up a hill. It's bad enough to carry a gate, you know, a mile or two, but then going uphill, Ross, that's really working out your calves. That guy did it by the anointing of the Spirit of God. The same Holy Spirit that anointed Samson for such feats of strength anointed Jesus, and Jesus said that same Spirit will come to you. Amen? So if you need strength in the moment, glory to God, you can lift that car off that hurt, you know, passenger or whatever, you know, off that scene of the accident. If you need strength, if you need whatever it is, if you need the accuracy of David's sling in the moment, amen, the Spirit of God is on you to anoint you for accuracy, to say the right thing, amen. Your words are like a stone coming out of a sling, amen. The Spirit of God can anoint you to say the right thing at the right time and it be accurate. That's the anointing of the Spirit of God. Jesus said that same anointing, that same Spirit that causes awe and wonder when we read about it in the Old Testament saints, that same Spirit is coming on you. In other words, it's not a lesser Spirit. It's not a second-rate Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, everything you've seen me do, you'll be able to do, and even greater. I don't fully understand that, but that's what he promised. Amen. Greater, because I'm going to the Father. That same Spirit is on you and I. Amen. This is why in the book of Acts, we see over and over again, and they saw and they heard. And they saw and they heard. They saw the miracles that Philip did, and they heard the gospel preached. Or they heard at first the gospel preached, and then they saw the miracles that he did. Usually the miracles follow the preaching of the word. Amen? But this should be our life, saints. The ministry of the Holy Spirit on you and I is this. People should see and people should hear. Right? They should see the miraculous power of God in our life. Even if it's in a quiet way. You pay your bills on time, that's a miracle. Amen? In this day and age, that's a quiet miracle. But you should have a heart of peace knowing you're in the black, your bills are paid. Why? Because God's Spirit is upon you. Amen? And they can hear through your testimony, Jesus is my provider. Like we sang about a while ago, Jireh, you are enough. He's more than enough. Amen? And you can have that testimony in your life. That's a quiet miracle. Amen? We also sang something else this morning. I thought, man, how did Rachel know that? I mean, it was just like right in line with what I was going to preach. It'll come to me in a moment. But those lyrics were just like screaming at me. Like, well, that's your whole sermon. All right? Something else we need to remind ourselves about the Holy Spirit, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon them for singular task, upon men and women to defeat an enemy or crush an enemy or win a battle or whatever it was. He came on them for a single task. In the New Covenant, we don't have a come and go Holy Spirit. He comes as a permanent presence in our lives. Amen. A permanent presence for a lifetime of service and beyond. What do you mean by beyond? I'll tell you what I mean by beyond. I met a man once in the piano industry, and when I met him, he was highly successful. A strong piano company over in Asia had signed him on to do some design work, some engineering work on their products. And he did such a great job. They said, "Now we're going to build a piano for you. You put your family name on it." And I met this guy right at the peak of, I would say, his success years. You know, when he was building a product with his whole family name right there on the front of the piano. That's a mark of pride. But this man was a believer in Jesus. He was a godly man. A year or so after I met him, he passed away. But I learned later that in his will, he determined that every royalty that came from the sale of all these pianos with his family name on them, each royalty should be donated toward a certain, at that time, it was a very popular healing minister in the body of Christ. And so this man, his life continued to serve God even well beyond after his departure from this world. Are you with me? Amen. This is our call. Amen. This is our call, that the Holy Spirit so empower our lives that when we leave here, we don't leave a vacuum. Some people leave earth and they leave a vacuum. What do I mean by that? They leave their debts for the kids and the grandkids to pay off. And they've left a vacuum. And people are going, oh my, you know, in disgust. No, the memory of the just is blessed. Amen. That's what Proverbs says. The memory of the just is blessed. What does that mean? When people remember you, they'll be happy. Why? Because you moved. You lived and moved and had your being with the Spirit of God. Not just a singular task. You know, Samson did some great things, but then the Spirit departed because he compromised. No, we are called to a lifetime of service under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A lifetime of holy service and then some. Amen. Say then some. Yes. When you leave this earth, you should leave a then some. The Bible says Abel's blood speaks even today. It still speaks. It still speaks. Your blood should speak long after you're here. What do I mean by that? Leave a legacy in Jesus. Amen. By the Spirit of God. Well, last week we talked about the ministry of the Spirit. That was the title of last week's message. You can go back and listen to it if you weren't here. The ministry of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 11 was our key verse last week. And we're going to look at that again. If you have your Bibles, please turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But we learned last week this basic principle that the law killeth, but the Spirit does what?
Gives life.
Does what?
Gives life.
Gives life. Right? And that was a picture of the difference between the Old Covenant or Old Testament of your Bible and the New Testament or the New Covenant. If someone says, what's the difference between this? I bought a Bible the other day and it says Old Covenant, New Covenant. What's the difference? Well, under the Old Covenant, the law killed people because the law has to be just or it's not from God. Amen. God has to be a just God or he's not God. But in the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit came to give what? Life to people. Amen. Let's read those verses together. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you'll turn there, you're probably already there. I'm playing catch up with you. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's a good verse to speak over yourself on a regular basis. My sufficiency is of God. Amen. In verse 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament or the New Covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter does what? Killeth. But the Spirit gives life. If the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. In other words, it was a temporary glory. Why was it temporary? What is that? What is the scripture saying there? Let me pause there and say, what is he talking about? The old covenant, listen, look up here. The old covenant had a fading glory. Why? Because it was dependent on you. As long as you were walking right, glory. The minute you broke the law, death, justice. That's what they mean by fading glory. You see? You got me? Okay. All right, that's what they're talking about with fading glory there in verse 7. Verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit, say the ministration of the Spirit, it will be rather glorious or more glorious. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, verse 11, much more that which remaineth is glorious. I know that sounds like a lot of kind of round and round talking, but let me just explain it again. The Old Testament glory came and went. As long as they followed the Lord, glory. The glory of God was upon them. It was seen upon them. In the New Covenant, look at there at the end of verse 11. What is it? What is it that is the characteristic or the mark of the New Covenant that is so outstanding that makes it better? How many of you know we only need a New Covenant if it's better? We only want new and improved. Amen. We don't need new if it's not improved. But the New Covenant is better. Amen. The book of Hebrews confirms that. It's a better covenant. Why is it better? Right there in verse 11. It's a glory that remains. And so I have these bullet points. If Alan, if you'll put those up for me, please, those bullet points from this passage. To summarize, let's say this. Look at this. The Spirit does what? Gives life. And in the New Covenant, we have a glory that supersedes the Old Testament glory. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Why does he come? To minister righteousness. And fourthly, the New Covenant mark is that the Spirit remains, which means the glory remains. Aren't you glad? You say, well, I don't feel too glorious today. That's okay. Guess what? Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be in you and he'll abide forever. Even on your low day, the Holy Spirit's in you. Amen? Why? Because it's not based on your performance. It's based on his. It's based on Jesus's perfect performance, not yours. Aren't you glad? Can you say amen? I know that boggles the mind. You'll get it. Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't, you know, the understanding will come later. Just get the faith. Praise the Lord. Now, today I want to talk briefly with you. And I say briefly, tongue in cheek, because after all, I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. No, I'm kidding. No, I want to talk briefly with you today on the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. Would you turn in Hebrews chapter 10, please, real quick. Hebrews chapter 10, a couple books to the right. And this will be our keynote passage for this phrase or this idea of the Spirit of grace. So the Spirit comes. He abides with us forever. The Spirit comes and he ministers all these things we just saw from 2 Corinthians 3. And then today I want to emphasize the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace to you and I. Isn't that great? Yes. He's not the Spirit of justice. Because if he came like a judge into our life, it would not be good for all of us. Because how many of you are perfect in here? Let's see if you're really listening. Some of you, or you just woke up. But, oh, yeah, that's me. No, none of us are perfect. Amen. We all are human. And therefore, God doesn't come as a spirit of justice. He comes as a spirit of grace. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Now, remember that the book of Hebrews was written to a group of people. They were Jewish people who had left the old covenant to follow Jesus. Amen. And the whole message of the book is really pulling them back in, saying, don't abandon Jesus. Don't go back to the animal sacrifices of the old covenant. Look at verse 29. He says here, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Thank you, Alan. I forgot you had it up there. It's right there. I could have read it right off that. Praise the Lord. So he says here, let me just translate this for you. I know that's King James. It's a little bit, it can be a little sticky there. He says, people who abandon Jesus and go back to the old way, animal sacrifice, trying to please God by keeping the law, You have trampled underfoot not only the blood of Jesus, but the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. Remember this, when you read the word law, anytime in the New Testament you see the word law, think of self-effort. Okay? Because again, this is the very description or the very nature of the Old Testament law, was that it was based on man's effort or ability to keep the law. All right? So when you see that word law, think of effort. And Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, we don't know if it's Paul or Barnabas or Apollos, you can take your pick. One of those men, whoever wrote this book, the book of Hebrews, he's saying here, listen, if you're going to go back to your effort, then you are rejecting the power of the blood to cleanse you, and you are trampling under your feet the Holy Spirit that comes to empower you, so that you're not dependent on your own efforts. Listen, the greater offense in the new covenant is not sin. The worst way you and I can offend God is not by sinning. He knows our human nature. He knows the old nature. He's really aware that we're being perfected and we're not quite there yet. That's not the greater offense in God's eyes above what we just read about in Hebrews 10:29, self-effort. Man trying to be his own righteousness. Man trying to please God in his own strength. That makes God a whole lot more unhappy than just plain old sin. Are you with me? Why? Because it's based in pride, and it puts aside the power of the blood of Jesus, and it tramples the Spirit of grace. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. Listen, put aside your own efforts. Put aside your own efforts. God says, I'm coming on you in the new covenant as a Spirit of grace. You could take it this way, a Spirit of ability. Amen. The grace is there to empower us. But until we get fully matured, in the meantime, we have grace, which means we have God's favor as if we had done everything right. Are you with me? That sounds ludicrous, but that's the truth of the new covenant. The truth of the new covenant is you are graced despite your imperfection. Amen? That's what the Spirit of the new covenant is all about. That's why we call it amazing grace. Let's look at an example of God pouring out his grace on unworthy people. Would you look over in Acts chapter 10 with me, please, real quick. Acts chapter 10. And we're going to begin in verse 34. So turn there real quickly with me. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Let me summarize what's happening so far. This is the incident where Cornelius, who was a Roman soldier, an Italian, a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, he has just seen a vision of an angel. The angel has appeared to him and said, send for Peter, and Peter will tell you how to get saved. Basically, I'm summarizing, okay? And then we begin reading in verse 34. Verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said this. When he arrived on Cornelius' doorstep, he sees this living room full of people, and he hears the story of how Cornelius had an angel appear to him, and this is the first thing Peter says. Of a truth, I perceive God is no respecter of persons. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. Let me just say this aside. This is not part of my message, but I want you to be established in this truth. God is no respecter of persons. What does that mean? He doesn't play favorites. But God is a respecter of faith. You say, how come one person got their healing and one person over here didn't? How come one person over here got blessed and then one person over here didn't? Well, I can't explain everything. I don't have all the questions, you know, answered in the universe quite yet. But I can say this. God is no respecter of persons. And that's great news. He doesn't respect your talent, your ability above any others. He is a respecter of faith. Amen. That's a sermon for another day. Amen. Verse 35. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to God. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Let me pause here and say this. I know there's a lot that's difficult to wrap your brain around when you read this book, because we serve a Jewish Messiah. Are you with me? Jesus came to the Jewish people. There's a lot to understand. There's a lot to grapple with here. But I'm telling you, outside this book, you can't understand him. Just determine, I'm going to muddle through this. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to teach me and help me figure out what on earth God was saying in this verse and that verse. Read your Bibles. Yes. And trust the Lord to teach you. Because there's a lot here. It's a different culture. It's a different people. But he's a Jewish Messiah. You're just going to have to accept that. You're going to have to embrace that. You're going to have to say, in order for me to grow in my grace, I'm going to have to appreciate what Jesus did for the Jews because he was their Messiah. And now he's mine. Amen. Sorry, I'm just going to preach in there. All right. Where are we at? Verse 40. And God raised him up from the raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead, or of the living and the dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now notice this in verse 33. This is so key. When Peter spoke these words, verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell. Say, the Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, the Jewish people, which believed, were astonished. They were shocked, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Praise the Lord. Let's stop right there. The Holy Ghost fell, not when Peter was describing Jesus in verse 36 as the one who brought peace to Israel, not in verse 38 when Jesus was described as bringing healing to the oppressed, not as in verse 39 and 40 when he spoke of the death and resurrection of Jesus, but not even as in verse 42 when he spoke of Jesus as being the judge of the living and the dead. The Holy Ghost fell when Peter got to verse 43. When he spoke of the removal of their sins by faith through grace. Are you with me? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of grace. And when you start talking about the unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor and kindness and love of God poured out, the Holy Ghost gets excited. He gets excited to affirm that that is the nature of the new covenant. And what did he do here? The Holy Spirit fell on them. That word fell is the same word used in the prodigal story. You remember when the prodigal son came home? And the Bible says, and the father fell on his neck, meaning he gave him a bear hug. And if the son hadn't been standing firmly, they would have both collapsed. Why? It was a loving embrace that said, I abandoned all to give you my all. This is the same word fell in the Greek language. When you and I receive the undeserved kindness of God, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to affirm the Father's love. He falls on us. He bear hugs us. Listen, when you're in a situation, you go, I have blown it again. That's the very moment when you're least qualified in the natural. Amen. You're the least qualified to receive the favor of God, the least deserving. At that moment, you are most qualified for a Holy Ghost bear hug. Let me say that again. When you are least deserving, you are most qualified for the undeserved favor and outpouring of God. In other words, the spirit of grace. That's who he is. That's who he is. See, these people were Gentiles, meaning they had never in the natural done the right thing because they didn't have the law of Moses in their life. They were the least deserving for God to save them, forgive their sins, and pour his spirit out on them. And that's exactly what happened as Peter the apostle walked into this living room. These people gathered, hungry to hear the word of God. The spirit of grace fell on them, announcing, you're undeserved, but you're loved. Here I come. And when you're least deserving, in that very moment, that's when the spirit of grace can come all over you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's who he is. Listen to this. Under the law, that is self-effort, God left man whenever he failed. But under grace, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's why it's a better covenant. Under law, not one man was ever declared righteous. Think about it. David, Daniel, you think about your most esteemed hero of the Old Testament, whoever that person is. You think Joseph, man, he did everything right. I mean, he did boast about his dreams. Okay, he did that wrong, but he's human, right? But other than that, he walked a straight line. You talk about Johnny Cash walking the line. That was Joseph. But you know, the Bible does not declare him completely righteous. No man ever pleased God under the law completely righteous. David, Daniel, you name them. But under grace, all who believe in Jesus Christ are declared right with God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm terrible at this, or I'm terrible at that, or I have a temper, or I have this. Under grace, you are declared righteous. Imperfect as you are. Why? Because you believe. Just like that room full of Gentile Italian people sitting there hearing the gospel for the first time from the lips of Peter. You believed. And when you believe, saints, this is a powerful truth right here. When you believe, the Spirit of grace can come into your situation. Not because you earned it. Not because you did everything right. Not because you've been walking the line. Not because you didn't lose your temper on the freeway or you were patient with your kids. Not because you did everything right. But because he is gracious when you believe. Next time you find yourself in a circumstance, you said, oh, I got here too late. Reach out, receive the Spirit of grace. I don't deserve it. That's when he comes the most. He's the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Now, that's not to say that he endorses sin. That's not to say he is proud or approves of human weakness or failings. But he's the God who works in us to lift us, to establish us in righteousness and cause us to triumph. Amen. In every situation. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, real quick. Romans 5, verse 20. This is so powerful. I want you to catch this principle today. This is for you. This is not just a verse talking about before you came into the Lord. Because how many of you know after Christ, AC, not BC, not before Christ, but after Christ, we still sin? Yeah, because I feel like the guy at the party that they played this gag on, right? They all turned their back and he thought he was going to be, a room full of people doing this one thing, and then they all ran off or whatever and he's left there alone. I just said, they still sin. Or are you, am I the only human in here? Are you guys robots? What is it? After Christ, we still sin. Why? Because we're being perfected. But look what Romans 5:20 says. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. What does that mean? Let me explain that. The law of Moses, the Old Testament law, was in place to show man his sin. That's what that means. That the offense might abound. In other words, that your glaring mistakes might be glaring, okay? That's why the law was given. You say, well, that doesn't seem to make sense. Oh, yeah. Because in that moment of seeing your failure, seeing your mistakes, seeing your weakness, it makes your heart cry out for what?
A savior,
right? We must have a Savior. Until man comes to the end of himself, he cannot be saved. That's what that means. But read it with me if you see it in the King James. It's right here. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. One more time. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm here to declare to you, to announce to you today that grace much more abounds. The Spirit of grace is on you and I, not just to bring us to Jesus. This is, as I said, this is a salvation verse. I mean, we look at Romans 5:20 and we say, yeah, where the law entered and revealed our sin, the Spirit of grace came and it was much greater than our sin. And we say, hallelujah. We sing Amazing Grace. We say amen to that. But what about tomorrow? When you stumble, when you fail, when you do not rise to the occasion as you expect yourself or the situation demands. Can you hold on to grace in that moment? See, that's when we need the Spirit of grace again. In other words, Jesus saved you, and he saves you again and again and again and again. And how does he save us? How does he save us again and again? Does he save us again and again because we do the right thing? Or because we keep all the law and do, now that we're a Christian, we do everything perfect? Is that what qualifies us for his saving power? No. Where sin abounds the most, we might say, grace overwhelms that sin. Amen. When you see testimonies like Dwayne, on the Alpha program that we saw, and a guy who's just engulfed in a cycle of living in prison. I mean, you know, many guys that they get in this trap, this cycle. They'll commit a crime, they get in there, and they take on this identity, and then they get out of prison, but in their mind, like he said, in their mind they're still a prisoner. Grace comes. Grace can overwhelm the deepest darkness. Amen. I think Corrie Ten Boom said it best. She said something to the effect of, there's no darkness. Someone can quote it better than I can. Still, there's no darkness that's darker still where Jesus cannot be greater, basically like that. Oh, we'll get that quote. We're probably hanging on the wall in our church. It's a great quote. She survived the Holocaust. She survived concentration camps. And she knew the deepest depths of darkness. And she saw that the light of God was greater still. The grace of God is greater still. Listen, your weakness is no match for the grace of God. Your sin is no match for the grace of God. You got saved with some sin in your life. We all got a little bit of Adam that's still been lingering in our genes. It's coming out. You stick around here, it'll come out. Amen. You stay in the presence of God long enough, it will come out, because grace much more abounds. Amen. It abounds more. Wherever your sin is, grace rises above it. Amen. It's a higher level. God will rise above it. He will overwhelm it. He will save you. We're going to talk about it more next week, because the grace of God, according to Titus 2:11, teaches us to say no to sin. You see, well, you sound like you're endorsing sin today. No, I'm not endorsing sin. But I understand that the spirit of the new covenant, the spirit of God given to us in this new and living way, he is a spirit that comes when we deserve him the least, when we've earned him the least, amen? When we've broken every commandment we knew, and we go, oh God, am I really even saved? And here comes the spirit of grace, give you a bear hug. Here comes a song on KSBJ, and it lifts you, and you go, huh, you heard my cry. Thank you, Jesus. What is that? It's the bear hug. It's the Holy Ghost coming in, like he fell on those Italian Gentiles in that room that Peter was preaching to. He fell when Peter preached the unearned, undeserved forgiveness of God that came through Jesus Christ. The grace of God. The grace of God. Romans 2:4 says, it's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. I like to say it this way. Grace is heaven's, and I was going to say heaven's but that didn't sound so good. So grace is heaven's yet. Grace is heaven's yet. You know, it doesn't matter what the enemy's done in your life. He's done all this, 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 and this. Yet God, or but God. That's grace. Yet, in other words, God gets the last move. God has the last word in the situation. Amen? If you will hold on in faith, the grace of God will come to you, and it will always overwhelm your sin. It will rise above your weakness. It will lift you higher than you could have imagined, because that is who he is. He is a spirit of grace. Amen? Why don't you stand with me this morning? We need to hear this message every day. I don't preach the same message every week, but I could preach on this all year long and we still wouldn't have it. We'd just be starting to get it. Why? Because even as Christians, we're so ingrained in the idea, if you've been brought up in church at all, you have this idea that God is pleased when I do what's right. And he blesses me when I do what's right. See, we have that mentality because that was the law. He said, stand over here. If you keep the law, you'll be blessed. Now you people stand over here on this mountain. He actually had the nation of Israel divide into two halves and had one stand on one mountain and one stand on the other. One half declared the blessings for all those who obeyed God. And the other half declared the curses for those who disobeyed God. That was the nature of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. But the nature of the New Covenant says, no, when you have sinned, when you have done wrong, when you have been in the least place of deserving of God's love, there his grace will come upon you. That's why we call it amazing grace. Amazing grace. Again, it does not endorse doing wrong. It brings us out of it. It draws us out. Because you can't be graced and loved by God again and again and again and again and not be changed. His love will overwhelm you. His love will transform you. I got the quote from Corrie Ten Boom. Here it is. There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Oh, praise the Lord. She knew the pits. But she said, God's love is deeper still. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the Spirit of grace. Just hold out your hands right now, wherever you're at. Some of you in here are you know, you're cruising along fine in your Christianity. Some of you in here are broken today. And you say, man, if I leave here unchanged today, I don't know what I'm going to do. But the Spirit of grace is here today. The Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of this new covenant we declare. He's here today to give you that Holy Ghost bear hug. He's here to affirm the love of the Father in your life. Reach out and receive it right now. Holy Spirit, let the grace of God come over your people now. Let it cause us, let it overwhelm every situation that is darkness, every situation that is sin, that is brokenness, that is deception, that is destruction. Let it overwhelm now. Because you are always greater, Father. The Spirit of grace be released in our lives as never before to cause us to rise to where you've placed us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. Hey, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe you've never been born again, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, never had your sins forgiven, you're here at the right place at the right time. And with heads bowed for just another moment, I want to invite you to accept Jesus, to make him Lord of your life. You say, Scott, I need to be forgiven. I'm a sinner. That's me. I want you to raise your hand real high. I'm not going to embarrass you today, but we're going to pray a prayer out loud together in a moment. With heads bowed and eyes closed for just another moment for privacy's sake. Anybody at all, you say, I'm a sinner. I'm not right with God, or I've been away from God, and I want to come back to him today. Today is my day to come back to the Father's house. If that's you, anybody at all, please raise your hand, and we're going to pray a prayer together. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus. The Bible says when we were dead in our sins, unresponsive to you, not even able to show any kind of inkling of response, that we had any desire to do right. In that moment, you sent Jesus to die for us. Thank you, Father, for the grace of Jesus poured out upon our life. Oh, I feel it right now. He's pouring it out. Some of you are getting it right now in this very moment, just in his presence, beyond what I can say in English. My preaching words fail me, but the Spirit of grace is being poured out right now upon you. He's drawing you back to Jesus, drawing you to that place of favor with God, right standing where you could stand. You could say, I am the most righteous man in heaven. Did you know each of us in Christ Jesus could stand and say that, even amongst the great Old Testament patriarchs, Daniel, David, Solomon, all the great men of the Bible, Abraham, because we're all on equal footing in Christ Jesus. The most righteous person in heaven is only righteous to the degree that they believe in Jesus. Amen. Only faith gets us there, folks. And right now, the Holy Spirit's being released in your life, not because you have everything in line with God, but because of his overwhelming grace. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you're releasing yourself in our life in today and in the days to come. We are coming to understand the nature of your heart, the grace of our Father, the unearned, undeserved love of our God. And we thank you for it, God. All we can do is say thank you. Thank you. Let's just thank him for Jesus for a moment and we'll dismiss. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for the Lamb who takes away our sin. Undeserved as we were, you sent him to us. In our worst condition, you gave heaven's best. Thank you, Father, for the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, be blessed. We love you. Be sure and see Brother Lewis Cowan on your way out. Sign up for Alpha in some way or another, or get a business card. Hit it with the QR code, and we'll see you Wednesday night for some training. We're going to win the loss for Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.